Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Man, it's so great to see your face. And not just see the corporate logo that you bought into when you bought a car. Last couple of weeks, I thought I was watching a NASCAR race. You know, all these sponsorships. But, man, it's great to see you. Hey, I want to remind you, kids, don't forget, after the service, there's a kids ministry pack for you. And we'll get those distributed as soon as the service is over. And then I was just speaking with one of our students inside. What happened with that tournament? It's a Cinderella snack one. I mean, what happened to fudge rounds and zebra cakes and fudge squares? You know, Steven said, hey, it wasn't me. I was going for Star Crunch, and it got knocked out early. And wow. If I knew that was going on, I'd been rooting a little bit harder. Wow, I should have been paying attention. I just figure Swiss Roll had it in the bag, you know, but it's all good. You didn't come here to talk about Debbie Cakes, neither did I. Hey, I want to just also remind you that we set up a regathering team to begin to look at what does it look like for us to regather inside the building. You want to hear more about that next week. That team was led and chaired by Miss Debbie Colvin, and she met with some ministry leaders, and we've got a really good plan that we're beginning to roll out, but you can put this on your calendar. We are planning May 31st to be back inside the sanctuary, the worship center here. So just that's all things being equal. Lord's been good to us here in South Carolina. Our numbers are really holding very well. They're continuing to trend downward. We feel really good about that. So that just put that on your calendar. And I'll be honest with you. This is our next to last service outside, and I'm happy and sad about it at the same time. I've really gotten accustomed to this. This is a lot of fun. We got a crew that comes in at 9 a.m. and they set up. And in fact, we've gotten so good at it the last 2 weeks. We set up with about 25 minutes just to sit around and just hang out because we just got so good at it. And so I told the guys today and the ladies today, I said, well, this is next to last. And I don't know if I'm happy or sad. And they all kind of agreed. But you guys look great out there on your chairs and everything. If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And as we continue going through a series, as we journey to Pentecost. We're just a few Sundays away from Pentecost Sunday. And in fact, our target date to get back in our building is Pentecost Sunday. But as we head towards Pentecost, we're looking at some final words that Jesus gave, maybe some final words that he gave after his resurrection. And some final words that he gave as he was going towards the cross. And today, we come to a passage of scripture in which it's called his final discourse, if you will. Jesus, he's preparing his disciples as he's going to the cross. And he's also preparing, they don't know it yet, but he's preparing them for what is to come after the cross and after the resurrection. He's preparing them for what is going to be, Pentecost Sunday. So if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn to, John chapter 14, and we'll begin reading it at verse 23, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. If you have your Bible app, it's there on the events. Also, CamdenNaz.church. Go to online drive-in church that has all the lyrics and everything there that you need. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. This is the word of the Lord. Are you thankful? Father, we are indeed thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So we're continuing on in this journey to Pentecost. And we're looking at some words that Jesus gave to his disciples. And like I mentioned, this section of scripture, it finds itself in a part of Gospel of John, in which this is his last discourse, his final words, if you will. And there's something about final words that are memorable. You remember someone's final words a lot of times. If you've studied world history or even American history, there's just famous words that are associated with certain individuals, and typically maybe it's their final words or their final instruction. And even within the biblical story, within the Bible, we find several examples of last discourses, last words or last conversations. In Genesis 49, we find Jacob's last farewell or last testament to his family. In Deuteronomy 33, we read the words that Moses leaves to the children of Israel. In both cases of Jacob and Moses, words of farewell are usually meant to warn or prepare those who are left of what may happen or what is to come. Also, with the final words, especially in the biblical narrative, anytime there's final words, they usually mean that a successor is being named. Somebody is being named who is going to carry on in place of the one who is leaving. And so Jesus' last words to his disciples follow this format. He warns the disciples of what is to come. But he also names one who is to come after him. One who will come after him will be with the disciples, and all the believers, not just the disciples, but all believers are going to be able to learn from this one who follows Jesus. Jesus knew what the disciples were going to be facing, not just up into the cross, but he knew that they would face even after the cross, even when they get into the book of Acts and you see the birth and the growth of the church there in the first century. That Jesus understood and knew what they were going to be facing. And so his final words, a key theme in these final words is this theme of peace. Jesus knew the days ahead for the disciples were going to be, well, not so peaceful. And so this is why he says, peace I leave with you. You know, peace is something that we all long for, right? We all want peace within the family. We all want things to go peaceably. We all want things that at work or in the neighborhoods or in our community. We all want to live in peace. I remember back when I was younger, early 90s, when the Persian Gulf War broke out. You know, a big phrase for that whole war was peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East. And that was a phrase I would imagine even before that war and even till today. And so this is a piece of something that our world has been talking about for a long time. And Jesus promises here in chapter 14 that this is the very thing that he wants to bring. The very thing that he wants to bring is peace. But the question we have to ask ourselves, what kind of peace is Jesus talking about? And so as we unpack the text this morning, there are a couple of things I want us to make sure that we don't miss. I don't want us to miss the advocate, the helper, the comforter who Jesus promised to us. And also what Jesus, through the advocate, will bring to our lives. Look there at verse 23. He says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. and my Father will love them, and He will come to them and make our home with them. So we pick up here at verse 23, and it's actually Jesus, He's answering a question here from verse 22, from Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas. And Judas wants to know, you know, why Jesus is only going to reveal Himself to those who know Him. And that's an interesting question. You see, and I think Jesus, He answers this. He makes the point that the promise of God dwelling with us is grounded in us obeying Him. You understand that? The promise of God dwelling with us, that we would experience the peace of God, it's grounded in us being obedient disciples. Last week we were reminded that the cornerstone of discipleship, that the key marker of discipleship is obedience. Pastor Scott talked about that this past Wednesday for our midweek Bible study as we were unpacking the letter of Jude. There is this two sides of the same coin when you have obedience and discipleship. They go hand in hand. And so it may sound kind of harsh or mean that Jesus would place this demand on us. However, I'm not so certain that it's just a demand, but it's just a reality. Jesus cannot and will not dwell and make His home with someone who is not willing to follow His teachings. He's not going to dwell with someone who chooses not to allow Him in. We understand that. That we follow a God who is not coercive. We follow a God who His very character is doesn't impose His will on us, but He invites us to choose to be in this relationship. And so when Jesus says, "Peace I give you and peace I leave with you," there is this correlation that when we are obedient and when we are following Christ, when we are walking with Him in discipleship, then He comes and He makes His home with us. Jesus cannot dwell with those who do not let Him in. But all when we let Him in, man, the things that God wants to do in our lives, the peace that God wants to bring into our lives when we allow Him in. You know, because when God's presence comes, big things happen. Have you experienced that in your life? When God's presence comes, big things happen. Big things happen. You see it even in the Old Testament. When Moses goes and he stands before the Lord, when he's in the presence of the Lord, he literally has to fall at His feet because the glory, the presence of the Lord is so powerful. And we can experience that today in our own lives, that the Spirit of God can be so rich, can be so tangible in our lives that we can experience big things happening through God coming. When Jesus descends upon human hearts in all His divine glory, big things are bound to happen. The biggest thing being Jesus changes your life. When we allow the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon us, when we allow the peace of the Lord to rule and reign in us, the biggest and most important thing will happen, and that is us being changed into a new creation. Us being changed from old to new. And so we understand that God wants to come, and He wants to dwell in us. We know that God wants to totally transform our lives. But how does that happen? How do we know the will of God in our lives today? How do we know how to apply His teachings to our lives today? These are all great questions, and I believe, I'm convinced that Jesus, He gives us the answer. He says, you want to experience peace. I want to dwell in you. And then He says, this is how this is going to happen. Look at verses 25 and 26. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Some Bibles translate this to comforter, and others will use the word advocate or counselor. If you've done any sort of Bible study, you know here that the Greek word here for here is paraclete. And it literally means one called alongside. The King James Version will use the word comforter. And in 1611, when the KJV was written or translated, that was an appropriate word. However, the word in today's world has more of a softer connotation. When we think about comforter, it's kind of a more of a softer connotation. But paraclete is actually a legal term. Similar to how in today's court you have a lawyer that comes alongside you, that advocates for you, that has your best interest in mind. This is what a paraclete is. This is what that Greek word means. And so Jesus says, peace I'm going to leave with you. I want you to love everybody. I want you to love one another. I want you to do all these things. And I'm going to send to you a helper, a counselor, one who's going to come alongside you and have your best interest in mind. Remember, in these final discourses, it usually means that someone is leaving and there's a successor coming in. And so what we have is Jesus, he's preparing to go to the cross. He's preparing to resurrect and ascend to the Father. So he's leaving, but he's ushering in the next character, the next demonstration of who God is. And that is the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the counselor. The Holy Spirit is the new teacher. The Holy Spirit will come and will remind you of all the things that I've said to you. That's so very important. Everyone, we all like reminders, right? I know I need reminders all the time. You know, we have so much going on at the house or at church or work or whatever. You know, all these things you want to get done. So it's good to have a little nudge. Good to have a little reminder. You know, this all during quarantine. You know, husbands, we've been getting just gentle nudges from the other adult of the opposite gender that happens to live with us. Gentle reminders and nudges of the things that we wanted to get done. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to come and remind you of everything that Jesus has taught his disciples and taught us. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That when we make those missteps, when we have those mistakes, or maybe we say something that's not as loving as it could have been, or not as loving as it should have been, it's the Holy Spirit that reminds us and keeps us on target. I believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of not just the believer, but in the life of the church, is the continuing presence of Jesus Christ. We can live as Christ. We can have this continual presence of Jesus in our lives and in our church because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it's through the Holy Spirit that Jesus' promises, his promise of peace is fulfilled and carried out. Look at the last few verses. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And so we are reminded that this peace that Jesus gives to us, this peace isn't so much a guarantee that wars and conflicts will cease. We realize this won't happen until Christ returns again and his kingdom comes in its fullness. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that is broken due to sin. There's going to be conflict. We have to wrestle with the brokenness that is in our world. We're going to have pandemics. We're going to have sicknesses. We're going to have tragedies. But Jesus says, in the midst of all this, I've come to give you peace. That despite a pandemic, despite what the stock market says, despite what may be happening with a job, that there is a peace that God is walking with us. There is a peace because we have an advocate. We have one who is coming alongside us and walking with us. That's the peace that Jesus wants to bring. And it's a different peace from the world's peace. The world says that peace will come from following your own desires and making your own rules. The peace that Jesus brings is a peace that comes when we model the life of Jesus. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father, so we submit to the will and the way of Jesus in our lives. This is the peace that Jesus wants to give us. Even in the midst of conflict and persecution, the peace of Christ will guard us and can guard us. It reminds me of what Paul says in Philippians 4:17, that we have this peace that surpasses all understanding. And I believe that we get this peace that surpasses all understanding when we are focused on doing the Father's will, when we're focused on the mission of God. We can live through these circumstances with a sense of well-being. We can live through trials. We can live through the circumstances knowing that God is going to use our story for His glory. When you're walking with Christ, there is an incredible peace that comes along with knowing that God is working and moving in our midst. And that He's working our story for His glory. Verse 27 reminds us not to be troubled. We're not to be troubled because Jesus has promised us peace and Jesus will be faithful to His word. You know, if we're truly honest, we could all admit to not obeying verse 27. I think we can be transparent. We can be honest about that. There are times when we are troubled, and I believe it's in those times that we need to be reminded of what Jesus said in John 16. You're going to have, don't worry about the world. I have overcome the world. This is the one who we're following. Look at verse 30 and 31. I love this. And remember, Jesus, this is His last discourse. He's about to experience the cross. He's about to experience all that comes with the Garden of Gethsemane and all of that. Look at verse 30. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me. Isn't that great news? The prince of the world, he's talking about Satan. He's talking about the evil forces that are trying to thwart the mission of God. He's coming in the form of the Roman guards who are going to arrest him. He's coming in the form of Judas, who's going to betray him. He's coming in the forms of Pilate, who's going to turn him over to be crucified. He's coming in the form of those who are going to drive the nails in his hands. He says, they're coming, but they have no power over me. And so I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what questions you have. I don't know what has rocked your world recently. But whatever it is, it has no power over our Lord. It has no power over our Jesus, who is the King of Kings and who is the Lord of Lords. And so as we wrap it up, let's be reminded that Jesus came that we may have life. Jesus came that we may overcome. What is it in your life you are trying to find peace? What is it in your life that you are using to try to find peace? What has the world deceived you into believing that you'll get peace if you get this? Is it money? Is it some sort of identity? Is it some sort of habit? What is it? Is it some sort of status? You want peace? Love Jesus. Keep His word. Keep His commands. Walk in His will. Will it be easy? No, it won't be easy, but it'll be good. And God will be faithful to you in all of those moments. You want peace? Allow the advocate, allow the counselor to come alongside you and to advocate for you. Allow the advocate to come alongside you and to be that reminder of the teachings of Jesus, to be that reminder of what we are called to do and who we are called to be. You want peace? Allow the counselor, allow the Holy Spirit to be that purifying work in your life. Allow Him to cleanse your heart, your mind, your soul, and body by totally surrendering to Him. You see, I'm convinced that true peace begins with full surrender. Full peace and true peace begins with surrender. A total surrender to God and His will, to God and His mission. A total surrender to the Holy Spirit who wants to come and to purify your hearts, to move you beyond whatever that hang up is, to move you beyond that sin that just continues to take root into your heart, to move you beyond that malice, to move you beyond that past hurt, to move you beyond that word that someone said to you years ago and it always just seems to keep coming back. You want peace, and allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside you, to be your comforter, your helper, your counselor. And to establish that peace in your life today, it comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. James is going to lead us in a song that reminds us of what it is for the Holy Spirit to come and for us just to allow the Holy Spirit to come and to flood this place, to flood our hearts. Let's sing together.